FCS Football Podcast.
Green 87!
With Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer. Welcome back, folks, here on the Believe in FCS Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by my former teammate, former roommate, Mr. Sean Anderson. We are two former URI football players recently removed, now talking about FCS football like the two biggest hacks out there in the media. Sean, how are you doing today?
Not as good as you. I believe you're getting rainfall for the first time since I last saw you in Virginia.
Did it rain when we were...
I think the first day that you got here, it was raining. You were pulling up, you said there were no lights anywhere, and then it was just rain everywhere.
See, I actually do kind of miss the rain, and I just realized that was unintentionally a Toto reference. No, but it's weird when there's no rain, and the one thing that,
I... Start with a CCR bed today and let people figure it out, but with...
I would hope our listening audience would be able to pick up on that, but... No, the one thing that bugs me the most is that I'm used to the occasional weekly rain that cleans off my car. My car gets so dirty out here. I have a white car, and
it gets dirty in the smog capital of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Shocker.
And it sits in like a little cubby parking space that's impossible to get in and out of. So it's not really exposed to the elements, but it just gets so dirty for whatever reason, because LA is the dirtiest, most disgusting city that you could possibly live in. And I used to live near New York City. I wonder if anyone saw the lightning flash. Did you notice that?
No, I was too busy appreciating all the space that I have now, because I can go mobile with my new microphone, and I could just, I know people have commented on my mic posture in previous episodes where I would have my stand up just laying on my stomach, but today I could just lean back and enjoy talking FCS football.
More people have commented on the fact that you have the most poorly lit room out of any media personality, specifically FCS football media. I think that certifies you as a hack, is the fact that you refuse to have just the semblance of professional lighting that would cost you $30 to rectify.
You're really trying to go all in on this hack thing, huh? 2 minutes and 20 seconds in.
Yes, I'm going all in on the hack thing. I mean, well, speaking of which, Sean, but we'll get to the read after this. So I have to say the hack thing has picked up more steam than I think we anticipated. It's gotten to the point where we're seeing people not only comment on our stuff with references to the hack comment that you made a couple weeks ago, but you also have people now referring to each other as hacks in comments separate from anything that we post. So I'm glad that we've created an ongoing running bit that I'm hopeful stays consistent.
It's taken on a life of its own. I don't know how to feel about it, because again, it was a throwaway comment in passing about Homer fans.
Yeah.
And now we're thinking about doing some stuff, basically. Right, Joe?
Yeah. Well, I just would like to say, though, so for some people that don't realize, hack has always been a part of our vocabulary.
Always
talking to each other. It just has. We call each other hacks. We it just happened to find its way into the show, and it is now turned into this this continually used reference. But I want to say, and I'm curious if anybody is at all interested, I want to make shirts. I want a certified hack shirt, and I'm not going to do it if only Sean and I are going to buy them. So if anyone's interested, I'm 100% serious. Shoot us a DM at Joe DeLeon at Sanderson Radio. I'm genuinely curious if anybody else wants to do them, because again, it's not really worth it to get two of them, because I'm sure anyone who's made a t-shirt before knows that it's obnoxiously expensive to make two custom t-shirts. So if we do like a bulk order, it'll probably be a lot more reasonably priced.
Yeah. It's we were toying with the idea, toying with some different ways to roll it out, but if there's interest, that's the most important part, because yes, if I'm sitting with 30 hack t-shirts up here in my apartment or Joe in his apartment, it's just going to be, we're going to be looking at them and we're just going to think of ourselves as failures every single day.
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, it'll be like a...
Well, failures for that venture, rather.
Yeah, it'll be like a disposable shirt. You're done with it. You just throw it away and then you put the next one on.
Like Dr. Dre and his ones.
And then you get down to the smalls and you're just turning it into a crop top. It's at that point.
Paper towels.
Yeah, yeah. you just cut them into towels. Your bed sheets are made out of the shirts.
Pillowcases, whatever. Actually, no, why don't we just quit radio and get into textiles, Joe? I feel like that's where we would be better suited. We could think of all these great resources for non-used t-shirts.
We'll just buy them in bulk, and then we'll turn our whole lifestyle into the unused t-shirts. But seriously, if anybody's interested, please communicate with us. We just need like a couple people and we'll do it. And I'm sure if we post on social media, we can kind of turn it into like, you know, something consistent. But the other kind of motivation behind that, Sean and I will figure this out. I want to have them for the trip, and I want to give some away if we can. Would be a really good idea if we could give away some certified FCS hack shirts. I think would be fun, but we're going to try and do something with it.
I think it would be we've never made merch ever, and we've toyed with it
but we've never done
other projects for other stuff. It'd be cool, I think, if everybody on the FCS got on board with this. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of on board, Sean,
did you just say speaking of?
Yes.
Okay. On board. What's on board?
Speaking of on board, can you get our listeners on board with BetOnline?
Well, since Joe completely hijacked my BetOnline read last Thursday, I'm going to take this one nice and slow, which is hard to do, especially after you had a betting weekend like I had, which was horrific. It was awful. Atlanta money line bomb. Bucks minus 7.
Why would you take Atlanta money line against Washington?
Why wouldn't I?
Washington
touchdowns, because Washington's not good. And that's what I do. Ugh. I jinx myself when I make bets on Atlanta. Here's a bet online.
Never bet on your own team.
BetOnline.ag. Never bet on the Atlanta Falcons. That's my insider trading secret here, because we're sponsored by BetOnline. Show's presented by BetOnline. This is my secret. Never bet on Atlanta, but you can bet on other teams. Oh boy, Joe, I had two MLB futures bets just pop on right in, just blink, and then I'm like, oh, I almost forgot about this. There's some money. I like that. You can put futures bets in on BetOnline. You can make all types of bets, parlays. We got the MLB playoffs happening. We're in the thick of the NFL season. 4 weeks flew right by. So head on to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I almost fell asleep during that read. Thank you, Sean.
Oh, okay. Keep that same energy.
By the way, Sean and I both got haircuts. I wonder if anyone has any thoughts on those. Colin, anything? Thank you. Sean, let's go to the water cooler.
Because you're hairless Joe DeLeon.
No, I just, Colin always has a comment on her appearance for some reason.
You know who else does? Anything. Jesse Fritch.
I haven't heard from Jesse. Jesse doesn't like us anymore. Well, he doesn't care about FCS football. He's just a draft guy. Sean, let's fill up our cups.
Welcome to the water cooler.
Get into the water cooler here. And the first thing that I'm not sure if you heard about here, folks, is Sam Houston State. Didn't have Eric Schmidt. There were some concerns with some injuries with Schmidt, so they chose not to dress him against a game that I think they might have looked past a little bit, going against Stephen F. Austin. And Trey Self is so fantastic. I saw some people tweeting about him and talking him up, which is deservedly so. Trey Self is a fantastic talent. From what I hear, well, Ryan Roberts is a big fan, but from what I hear, there's some CFL potential there. There's maybe some XFL potential there. I'm sorry. Am I boring you? What do you know?
I have a plug. I'm looking for the plug. I have something to plug. Okay. I'm so sorry.
That looked like you're just like, I don't really feel like pay, because you're like leaning.
No. Yeah, I was gonna. Well, with regardless, this game, I talked about it on the AQ7 football podcast. With Brandon Joseph and Nathan McCreary, and they had Stephen F. Austin actually winning the game in their predictions. So that's what I was looking to plug.
Really?
Yeah. They said it was going to be very, very quick, or very, very close, rather.
And I think part of that was probably because Schmid wasn't in it. That was a great call by them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with Schmid in, I think this is a two-score football game. Stephen F. Austin's better than I think people give them credit for.
They are.
And they are really propelled by Trey Self. But they played really good in this game. Props to Stephen F. Austin, Sam Houston. It's a bit of a scare, and I think any good football team is going to have that when you're dealing with injuries throughout the season.
It's the quarterback, right? And Ryan Roberts, he always says, or he has been saying as of late, does anybody ever come on here and not talk about quarterbacks? Guilty. It's the most exciting position on the field. And
yeah, it's almost like that. It's the name that you hear on every single call and the usually big factor in wins, but you know.
Right. But
should we do a Ryan Roberts quarterback of the week?
I'd love that.
Oh God, Ryan would be so mad.
It's not funny. Oh, and can you imagine if it was somebody that he didn't that we had to get him sharp to? Oh, yeah. He would lose his mind. Mm.
Sean, what's the next thing on for the water cooler for these fine gentlemen that are listening to us speak?
Well, a former FCS football player became my favorite player of all time this past weekend. That is Spencer Brown, who did what I like to call the Sean Anderson on the field. As I have done this taunt to Joe DeLeon probably 1,000 times. I have mocked him for his height compared to my height. Spencer Brown is 6'9", I believe, or 6'10", maybe
6'8".
He's 6'8", rather. So he's got me by a couple inches. No matter, during an NFL football game while chirping with a member of the Houston Texans, he did just the most vicious but so awesome football taunt where he just looked at this defensive back who I guess was jawing with him and gave him the my height, like when you touch the top of your head, and he lowered it about a foot down to his height. And oh, he was just chirping at him. Oh, Spencer Brown. Oh, I love him so much for that because, you know, everyone thinks that tall guys have it easy. They think that it's easy just living at a height above average. Joe is somebody who is on the shorter end of things, and he has the shorter, you know, you're a short guy. So
I'm not short. I'm shorter than you. Yes, I'm under 6 foot, but I am not short.
So Joe's under 6 foot, so he's short. So therefore, you know, he likes to take jabs at me whenever he can. He asks me how airplane flights are, and he knows they're always horrific. He asks me how much room I need when I get in the car. I've seen him do a bit where he said, sorry, the new seat for you hasn't come in yet, so it's going to be a little snug. I've heard this bit.
When have I said that?
He likes to do bits about my height. So seeing Spencer Brown
take size.
This is what I'm talking about right here. Short guys love to play victim, but they take jabs and jabs and jabs. But us tall guys, we have to stick together. That's why I'm riding with Spencer Brown.
Us tall guys. Also meant to say ladies and gentlemen, not just gentlemen a couple minutes ago. But yeah, I love the casual. Sean loves to do the casual flex thing to me on Twitter. And, you know, Sean, of course, has had to take the opportunity here to say, you know, despite my bias, this is a fantastic taunt. So just letting everybody know that you're around the same size as Spencer Brown. So I'm glad that everyone's now well aware that the former offensive lineman is offensive lineman sized.
This is, you know, this is a taunt you could do with your little nephews. This is a taunt that you could do with people. It's a universal because there's always someone shorter than you. So you could always do it. This is what.
Is that necessarily true?
Do it to your kid. You know, that'd be awesome. Do it to your grandma, whoever.
Also, according to NFL scouts, a Texan scout, I believe, that measured you, you're actually 4 inches shorter than Spencer Brown.
I'll stick you in the mouth. I'll stick you in the mouth.
Verified 6 foot.
No, they dipped it under. They dipped it under. No, they dipped the back of it under.
4 and like 3/4. He was a verified 6'8".
I'll stick you. You are a liar. It was 6'4 7/8". Is what they measured me at.
Oh, okay. You're 6'5". You're still 3 inches shorter.
I had a short day. Sometimes I've gotten measured at 6'5 and a half. You get, you know, sometimes I think if you sleep, I this is an internet fact in air quotes, but I read once that the better you sleep, the taller you are that day. I think it's something with relaxing your muscles and body and actually getting good REM sleep.
Oh my God.
So, I'm sorry, Joe. Maybe in college I wasn't getting great REM sleep, so I was a little bit shorter that day.
Apparently, this is a scientific misinformation podcast. So, welcome for tuning in, folks. We're just gonna just
you think I'm lying. It's at least something that I read. What have you read last?
A book.
Yeah,
not Instagram.
I'll be damned if you read a book in the last year.
I have a book that I'm reading that I read the other day. That's on my coffee table.
What book?
I'm not picking up to go get it. No, because it doesn't seem like such a tool.
You're reading George's coffee table book. That's what you're reading.
I thought you were going to say Curious George. It was Kramer, by the way. Getting back to football, Sean, did you see that UC Davis, one of the undefeated top-ranked teams, one of our teams that upset an FBS program, the Aggies remain undefeated after beating a good Vandal Idaho team, Vandals of Idaho team. I don't know what the hell I was trying to say there. 27-20. Great performance by Idaho, but still, UC Davis looks more and more legit each week, and it's getting so freaking hard to actually pinpoint who's the top team in the country. We need a few more weeks before I think we can really say that solidly.
I'm not in on UC Davis. They've broken my heart in years past, and they have destroyed me in FC estimates before. I'm not in. I can't do it. I hope they win. I hope they keep winning. I good football is good football. I'll root for that. Not doing it. I can't. Joe, have they not? I think they broke your heart a good amount too a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I did buy into the Alex Mayer hype. But that's a.
It was like Jake every Mayer? Single FC. It might have been Jake. It was like every single FC estimates that UC Davis was in.
It was Jake Mayer.
Yeah, good pull. Just what was their running back? I'm trying to remember because it was like.
Oh my God!
Whatever.
I'm forgetting he was good too. Yeah. He was a big reason why they were.
We kept on saying that he's going to have this big day. He's going to have his 3-touchdown day. Didn't happen.
Yeah, sadly no.
Well, Joe, get a cup here. Southern Illinois narrowly beat Western Iowa. Illinois.
Oh my
right.
God!
I need to not put abbreviations.
You were going to do that. My God. Talk about hack.
The directional and the U threw me off.
This guy hosts an FCS podcast and he doesn't even know the 31 schools.
31-30 in overtime.
He doesn't even know the schools. Southern Illinois.
We have 127 teams and they're all directional.
I think there's 129. Oh man.
Oh, do we have 31 just, now?
We're just blowing it today.
Oh, I think we might be like 33. Too many teams.
We can't count. Well, I don't know where we're at after Texas A&M Commerce. Sean, the Southern Illinois team, another one who has looked so good this year, and this is like a weekend for the top-ranked, top-10 teams to narrowly survive all these close games, and this is just another one that we have on the agenda.
Well, speaking of that, and I'm just going to go right into this one, JMU. Oh. Another top-ranked team barely slipped by UNH this last week. We'll have more on this game later. But a win's a win. Any football player will tell you that. But sometimes you go into the locker room just thinking, "Wow, we almost lost that one. How'd we do that?"
Sean, I want to.
Where you're driving home, you're like, Should we celebrate tonight? Do we go get dinner together or do we just go to our rooms and like light some sage and thank whoever?
Right. And after the game, Cignetti said something along the lines of like, we did everything to lose this game. And I also saw somebody, and I'm not trying to be an ass, but somebody's like, do we still rank UNH after this? No, you don't rank UNH after this.
Correct.
Multiple losses. UNH isn't as good as we think they are. They're not a good football program this year. They're decent. They're probably going to be a little bit above 500 because they have to still play most of their CAA teams. This is exactly like Cignetti said. I think that they looked past UNH and they saw, they lost by 70 points to a Pitt team that a couple years ago, I think they played Pitt. Might be mixing up with someone else, but JMU could play Pitt pretty close, in my opinion. And I think that they were just looking past them.
That Pitt quarterback can sling it.
Kenny Pickett is good.
He can sling it, man.
Yeah.
I was calling that game this weekend. He had like 5 touchdowns the first half.
Yeah. No, Pickett's a good quarterback, but I see this more as them looking past them, not necessarily them being competitive with UNH. I think they're going to UNH will get blown out by maybe another team.
You know what UNH will do? UNH is the team that will keep you out of the playoffs late in the season. They're the team that's just going to get a win when they don't. It's not like
when they don't need it.
Exactly.
They
will just, everybody needs a win all the time. So, but in reality, when we're talking about needing wins, you don't really always need a win, but you could go out there and play spoiler, and that's what they will do this season. They're going to take away someone's season in the CAA. They're going to take someone's postseason away. Mark my words. Or they'll take I think that's all CAA for the rest of the season, right, Joe?
Yeah, it should be.
Isn't all conference play just but
well, Rhode Island has to play UMass, so there's a couple of games sprinkled in there. But we're entering conference play.
Yeah, they're gonna take away a playoff appearance from somebody.
Okay, last thing here at the water cooler, our good friends at 2B Determined University. They played Texas Southern, another FCS game. They lost 69-0. 2B Determined, please stop scheduling FCS games. We're tired of talking about you.
You know what?
It's the same team, by the way. It's North American University. It's the same 2B Determined as last time.
I'm not calling a hack. That's a good bit, Joe. I wanted to. I was ready for it when I read it, and then you gave it. I'm like, you know what? That's pretty good. I'll take that.
There's the other school that keeps scheduling FCS games, the Fort Lauderdale School of the Strip Mall. That's the other one that keeps happening. That's actually a thing. Go look it up. The Fort Lauderdale University, or whatever the hell they call themselves, they're in a strip mall. That's great football program that they have there.
Stinks.
All right. I think that's enough time for we got to get back to work here. We got to stop drinking water at the water cooler. Get back behind our desk. Yeah,
we just spent 20 minutes here. TPS reports were due an hour ago.
TPS reports, God. So getting into the game of the week, I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to talk about here. We're going to be going really into a deep dive on the Texas Southern game.
Campbell.
That's going to be the game of the week. Oh. Yeah, Campbell.
They
Presbyterian.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington and Montana absolutely lived up to the hype. It was the first primetime ESPN2 game that we got this year. And the commentators actually even hinted, you know, a little bit at like they're actually College Game Day is thinking about maybe doing a game, an FCS game down the line. And, you know, if I'm looking at the schedule, it might just be that marker game that we're going to, Sean. There's a really good chance of that happening. And I hope that would be sick if we ended up timing that up properly.
Oh, but heckle. Was that Corso?
The nicest man that you could heckle there. I would go for Redford Desmond Howard. But this Eastern Washington-Montana game ends up being an absolute nail-biter, ends up going in favor of Eastern Washington 34-28. Just for some reference here, our fantastic quarterback for Eastern Washington, Eric Berrier, 26-46, 422 yards, 2 touchdowns. Dennis Merritt rushes for 23-103 and 1 touchdown. And then on Montana's side, they really did a good job running the football. Xavier Harris, 18-124 and a touchdown was his final stat line running the football. But this game, I think, is really intriguing because a lot of people saw what Montana did against Washington, and they saw what Montana did early this season. And I think a lot of people are thinking to themselves, if somebody's going to slow down Eastern Washington, it's going to be Montana. And we spent so much time talking about that on the last show. And on the flip side of things, if Montana was going to get into a groove offensively, it was going to be against a really, really porous Eastern Washington defense. But the complete opposite happened, where Berrier rose to the occasion. He did turn over the ball twice, but he rose to the occasion, put the team on his back, made some big-time throws in crucial situations. And on top of that, Eastern Washington's defense made some really big plays that certainly helped them.
I don't know how you can say Montana didn't slow down Eastern Washington. Berrier didn't have 500 yards this week. I'd count that as a win.
That counts as a win, but they just couldn't keep up regardless, which is crazy to say.
I'll do a call back to last week also. This is what we wanted the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl to be. Instead of an absolutely lopsided blowout, this is two teams very close together where a defense from Eastern Washington steps up and understands the task at hand, and Montana's offense steps up and says, oh, we need to score more than 13 points. And they did. It was a good game. It was just it's everything that you wanted in it. You had a kickoff return touchdown, deflected interception for Montana at the line. It's just running all over the place. Big, long pass plays. We got a player on Eastern Washington that might be brought up again at the end of the show. This game was, we get one a week, right, Joe? Just about one a week where you're like, wow, why couldn't I have been in the stands for that one? Because right. Eastern Washington, their stadium, electric. When that final Hail Mary dropped in the end zone, you just want to sit in it. You just want to be like, wow, I just witnessed an insane win against a ranked opponent on my home field. That's what you want. And the whole team's, both teams, I thought, showed incredible fight, incredible physicality also. There was no, it was just hard hitting. It was fast moving football. And it was also pretty technically sound. It wasn't a lot. It didn't look like there was a bunch of mental errors. It was just teams making good plays. And that's kind of what you want, right? You want to see teams that are executing, and they both were executing at a high level. That's why it was so close.
Yeah, a good old-fashioned slugfest in a way, but it wasn't necessarily like 3 yards in a cloud of dust like we get with these big sky games sometimes. There were some big splash plays. You mentioned the kick return for a touchdown. You got just some really amazing throws by Berrier, and I think that was ultimately the determining difference. What gave them the edge is that they have this guy who's blatantly going to win the Walter Payton at this point, who, when you have that type of a player, he is going to rise to the occasion and make the throws that you need him to win football games. And Montana just doesn't have that guy. Cameron Humphrey made some nice plays and he picked up some good yardage on some instances where he had to scramble and exit the pocket when they were in crunch time. He got absolutely smacked on that one play, and they had to bring in Chris Brown, his backup, and that derailed what I thought was going to be the game-winning drive. I saw that there was enough time left on the clock for Montana to get the football, and my thought process was Eastern Washington's defense isn't going to slow down Montana. They're going to move down the field, and they're going to score, and all they need is to hit the extra point, and they're going to win the football game. But the fact that Humphrey goes out with that injury is what impacted things so much. It's so hard to come in cold in a circumstance like that.
For Barry, it's impossible. For Berrier, you watch it, you're like, wow, he's got all the tools. Throwing wise, he's got the short passes. He can do that really quickly, get it out quickly. Intermediate, he knows where the holes are in the zone. And deep, he'll put it right over the defender. And you're just watching like, wow, there's just nothing they can do. When you have a quarterback that can hit all the zones and hit the passes, I know he wasn't perfect on the day. Nobody is. But he's just like, man, he's got it. You're Eastern Washington fan sitting there like, I know it's Montana, but we got this dude. And that's a confidence that you just bring to the team.
So we have some people on Twitter that were saying that Montana was a bit overrated after this loss and not necessarily giving Eastern Washington credit for the win. I want to ask you this to wrap things up with this game. Do you buy more into Eastern Washington's legitimacy to contend, or do you just take a lot less stock out of Montana and kind of stick where we're at with Eastern Washington and just realize that Montana isn't as good as we thought? Because that's kind of the mix we're getting right now.
I buy way more into Eastern Washington. I don't buy in less to Montana because they played a hell of a game also. Yeah. One score game, I stand. Ranked teams, who's putting less stock into who? That's a five-play game, Joe. You know, that's the five plays that determine the game. That's what that game was. Maybe even less. Maybe it was a three-play game where three plays are going to determine the outcome on their own. The rest are just going to be in between. That's something that we were taught, or that's something we know about the game of football. You run 70 plays, five of them are going to determine the win, the outcome. I'm not taking anything away from Montana. Why would I? They played the hottest offense in the FCS. I think Eastern Washington, when they could have beaten anybody that night, anybody in the FCS. They're just clicking. They were too balanced. They were too fundamentally sound on offense. It was just a great game for them. And I'm buying in. I'll buy in a little more.
Yeah, I'm also buying into Eastern Washington because the one thing that I've determined here is defensively to allow 28 points to Montana is actually a lot more than I think people realize. Like that's a lot for Montana in some cases, especially in a big game like this. I'm still worried about them defensively. But I know for a fact that this offense is almost like an Oklahoma type offense where they can just outscore people. And that's going to be enough for them to win football games, is that if they have a couple big plays, they're not going to be able to keep up with them, even if their defense makes a bunch of mistakes and allows big chunk plays to the opposing offense.
Sure.
Now, the rest of their schedule, they have to play Idaho soon. That's going to be an important game for them. Weber State has been a little bit weak so far this year, but that's going to be a difficult matchup. But the one I'm circling is definitely the UC Davis game and then the Montana State game. Those, I think, are going to be a little bit more determining of if they can make it through that difficult stretch of games right there, those four straight games with one loss or no losses, then I'm legitimately 100% bought in. If they lose one of those games, I think I'm not going to be as high on them. But, you know, they're going to need to finish really strong during that stretch.
Yeah, they're rolling, though. I FC estimates, why wouldn't I pick them?
Yeah. Sean, let's roll on over to Fat Stats. Now, you decided to put together, it's almost like you're determined to make each segment fatter than the last by reading.
I'm glad you caught on. Lines. No, yeah, it's hard to choose, Joe.
You just going to read every stat line every single week? Is that what we're going to do?
It's not every stat line, but this week it was exceptional for a couple reasons. I'm going to rip through it, but I'm going to explain. Morehead State quarterback Mark Pappas, 32 for 43, 481 yards, 6 touchdowns. Fat enough for you, Joe? I know you had a pick. Still justified. Pretty fat. Is that justified to be on there?
Yes.
Okay. Northern Arizona quarterback RJ Martinez, 26 for 45, 369, 3 touchdowns. But just wait here, Joe. Mm-mm. He was balling to two receivers specifically that combined for over two-thirds of his yardage. Northern Arizona, Jamal Glaspy, 11 catches, 167 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Northern Arizona wide receiver Coleman Owen, 4 catches, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's a pretty fat offensive team combined right there. I'm not. Is it not?
I think you got some better ones in here.
As a unit, it's exceptional.
It's a stretch
between three players.
You had to put you to do too much.
Combined for all the yards there, Joe. Glaspy and Owen combined had 300 yards between them. Martinez threw for 369.
It's impressive, but I don't know. I think that one's a bit of a stretch. Okay, continue. This next one I can get behind.
Mercer running back Fred Davis, 28 rushes, 276 yards, 5 touchdowns. I didn't mess up that number, Joe. 276 yards, 5 touchdowns.
That's
fat enough for you?
That's stupid. And that's a great running back name too, Fred Davis. I absolutely love that.
Central Arkansas quarterback Braylon Smith, 28 for 38, 358 yards, 5 touchdowns. Fat enough for you, Joe? Five tutties through the air?
That one's fat enough.
Oh, yeah, I thought so. UCA wide receiver LaJuan Winningham, 8 catches, 211 yards, and 1 touchdown.
That was a decent day.
What?
No, that's a good. That one's a good stat line. Go ahead.
I know it is. Continue. Southeastern Louisiana quarterback Cole Kelly, 36 for 49, 391 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But just wait, Joe. 17 rushes, 65 yards, and a touchdown also. That's over 400.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I thought so. I don't know about that.
450 scrimmage yards. 4 touchdowns?
I just think we have much fatter. I don't think it compares. Okay, so you did the same thing again. Why couldn't you have just said that Nichols rushed for X amount of yards?
Give credit to the players.
Well, you could. Okay, just go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Nichols running back Marquise Albert, Nichols running back Julian Gums, and Nichols quarterback Lindsey Scott combined for over 300 yards. Albert had 108 yards. Gums had 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. Scott had 143 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground.
Very impressive. That's a good lump of statistics right there. 6
rushes. So that's a good lump? How is that a good lump? But the Northern Arizona isn't. Two wide receivers had over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Because they collectively rushed for, what is that, 400? 350
300.
Yards? That's more impressive to me than the
that's
three,
more impressive than 300 yards
passing.
Receiving between two players.
Yeah.
You don't know what fat is.
You
jackass.
I look in the mirror every day. I know what
Eastern
fat is.
Washington wide receiver Taulo Limu-Jones is going to be closing out this edition of Fat Stats. 11 catches,
deserving.
231 yards. I picked the Fat Stats, not Joe. All of these deserve to be on here. I don't know who the winner is going to be. It's a ton. I think Fred Davis, 5 touchdowns, 276, is probably my lead candidate. Limu Jones comes in second for this edition of Fat Stats.
Limu had 100 yards at halftime, so I'm picking Limu just for that straight.
But
straight
also,
metric.
Winningham had 211 yards and a touchdown. Jones didn't have a touchdown, Joe.
Why are you so angry? Okay.
You try to take the wind out of this segment every single time. All right, let's go to your segment, Joe. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, no, we're going to sit here in silence because you have that energy. Because I would like to unveil this next segment with some gusto.
Go ahead.
If you screw this up, I swear to God. Okay, so I alluded to this on Twitter that we're officially doing the certified FCS hack of the week. And the premise of this segment going forward is that every Sunday or Monday, I will poll for hot takes from fans. And this is where we will ask you, the listener, to come up with the stupidest, wildest take that you can come up with. No consequences. And if you come up with the stupidest take, we will talk about you on the show. So, Sean, we've got a couple here, but we have a winner.
Yeah.
So, first of all, Colin Sutrick, good friend of the show, long-time listener, first-time caller. Colin says all he gave us was URI stinks. So, Colin, thank you for being creative and putting effort in. But that was just bad for the wrong reasons. No creativity.
No creativity whatsoever.
Sean Blythe put in a funny one, but it's not the winner. He said Oklahoma would lose to any FCS top 10 team. That, come on.
Made me laugh out loud. He got a laugh out loud. He made me laugh. Good
Oklahoma
on you, Sean.
Oklahoma's bad this year, and some of these FCS teams are good. But come on. They're not. Oklahoma is not going to lose to... maybe they could be... North Dakota State would play them close. I think that's fair. They're not going to lose to them. We also got our good friend Jamie Williams decided to really play into the bit, being as massive of a hack as he could possibly be, by saying, "You or Sean win that every week."
It's the first go around. I think listeners will start figuring out what we're looking for here pretty soon.
And speaking of looking forward, knowing what we're looking for here.
Nice.
Preston, wait, I think I wrote his name down wrong.
Sure.
I think it's Preston Adams is his name. I'll check in a second.
Debut.
screw you.
Killing it, man.
He gave us an interesting take, and Sean picked this for a reason. This is our winner today. When you play football at UNH, you might as well be playing in a different dimension. The rules are different, and weird stuff happens. And for two guys that played in UNH, there's nothing special about that stadium. The only cool thing is that they have a beer garden. That's it.
Hey, Preston. Ugh. What happened? JMU didn't win by 50. So now it's got to be the atmosphere. It's got to be the Aurora Borealis sitting above New Hampshire that's messing everything up. You stink. Hack of the week, Preston Adams. Obviously a JMU fan, right?
I don't know.
Without a doubt, that's a JMU fan.
Let's unpack.
That is saying that because JMU did not blow out UNH, there has to be something extracurricular going on with the game. I'm sure. I'm so sure.
Yeah, it was Preston Adams is the name. I don't see any indication of what team that he roots for, though.
It's gotta be JMU. That's exactly what a JMU fan would say.
He's a contributor for Hero Sports, FCS, and also FCS Fan Nation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a JMU guy. He's a contributor for Hack Radio. That's what he's a
contributor for. I have to say, out of anywhere we played, UNH had the least amount of home field advantage that I've ever witnessed. Now, we never beat UNH at UNH because we weren't good the times that we played them, but it is beautiful weather. It is, great air. It's a nice, really quiet, quaint area, and there's never really any fans in the stands. Even when I think we played them at homecoming,
yeah,
there was nobody at the game. So I just don't get it. I don't think that UNH really, it's just Jamie played the crap.
He's upset that UNH made it close, which is what CAA teams do.
Yeah, it happens when you play in the SEC of the FCS.
Hack of the week. My original hack on Chris Hammond and the FCS Fans Nation Radio, throw away. This, fully intentional.
So the goal now going forward, now that we know, folks, The goal is to one-up that every week. Feel free to be as obnoxious as possible. We encourage you. Do it within reason so we can actually pick something that's not too stupid that we can actually talk about. But thank you, Preston, for giving that to us. All right. That's going to be it from us. Sean, you got anything before I wrap us up?
I would love to thank... also, I know we don't... I know you do a lot of spots also, Joe. I would like to thank Nathan McCreary and Brandon Joseph for having me on this past week to talk FCS football on the AQ7 football podcast. So give them a listen. They're very, very nice. They know way more about the FCS than I do. Like not even close. They're
nice.
Definitely go check them out.
Yeah, great show and big supporters of the show as well. McCreary's just fantastic. Extremely nice. Thanks to Sean's roommate for walking in mid interview. That was cut out of the interview, but
thank
the
God.
Audio still survives. And I'm badgering Sean to post it because it's hilarious. But thanks, folks. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to get that preview show coming your way soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters. Because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.